Blog Talk Radio.
I am officially retiring from the NFL and Green Bay Packers.
And here we go. To the 40, the 30, the 20, touchdown, Chris.
Let me tell you what happened. I make that I drop like a sack of potatoes. What crawl on the cracker later?
Breeze.
Going on, everybody. Yes, it is another episode of the Southern Sports Wrap with the Zen Man. I am exhausted lately, not getting much sleep, but sleep doesn't really apply to sports. Of course, sports is always going full swing, and a lot going on right now. It's kind of a shame not even talking about the Super Bowl right now, but I will definitely get into that towards half past the hour. I just want to let you guys know we'll have a special guest on the show tonight. Kyle Kaiser will be joining me. I had him on the show probably like 2 months ago. He just graduated from Nebraska at Kearney, Division II. Had a great, great career there. And he has taken his talents over to overseas. And hopefully soon, I believe that he will be in the NFL. And just like following him. Sports isn't really all about the best players. It's, you know, in my mind, you know, I respect what he's trying to do. And it's just, you know, if you want to see how somebody gets to where they're at, believe me, there's plenty of people you watch in NFL, NBA. These guys, you know, some of them are good their whole life, but some of them, you know, they have to work for it. And I just want to follow his progressions and see where he goes. So I will be having him on the air shortly. And it seems that we do have a caller.
Yes, this is Kyle Kaiser.
Hey, what's going on, Kyle? Sorry about that. It seems like whenever I have a guest on the air, I always have trouble with my microphone. But what's going on, man? No problem, sir. Just told all my listeners that I'm having you on the show and you called in. So I just want to say thank you for joining me again. I know that you have a lot ahead of you. And last I heard was that you are heading overseas tomorrow. Am I correct?
Yes, that's correct. Heading to Austria.
Austria, wow. Yeah, if anybody doesn't know, Kyle just finished his great career over at Nebraska at Kearney Division II. Just broke a lot of records, and most importantly, he really made that school enjoy football. And I had him on the show maybe 2 months ago, and we didn't know where he was headed, and now he's headed to Austria. Just talk about what's kind of gone, you know, through your head. What's really happened to you, like, over the last couple of months? I mean, how much has changed for you? Did you have any idea where you were headed 2 months ago?
Right. You know, last time we talked, I was in Charlotte. I was working for Hendrick Motorsports, learning to change tires and everything. And I always kept the option open to go play football again. And working for Hendrick, I was able to work out, stay in shape, catch some balls here and there, and basically stay in football shape. So when I got a call from the head coach of the Vienna Vikings in Austria, he basically offered me a contract to come play professional European football, and I decided it would be the right step to maybe play in the United States again sometime or in Canada. So I decided to take the opportunity and head there.
Yeah, man, I know to some people it may seem kind of weird, like, why would you want to play in Europe or whatever, but to be honest with you, I mean, I'd be excited just to even visit that place, let alone be able to play a sport that you love, get paid for it, and to just, I mean, his. I know that your main focus is getting better, but talk about just living there. I mean, does that also interest you a lot? I mean, do you have a lot to go visit? I mean, obviously you have a lot to do, but I'm sure you can't wait to get overseas to Italy and check out everything.
Yeah, exactly. You know, there's a lot of people out there who dream of going and traveling Europe and going over there for a while, and I'm basically getting paid to go do that. And I figured I'd be cheating a lot of people if I didn't take that opportunity and go live that for them. So I'm very excited to go travel. We'll, from what it sounds like, we'll get quite a bit of time off, so I'll get to travel, get to go visit those neighboring countries and see what Europe's all about. So I'm excited to try something new and go over there.
So you haven't, what's the most you've ever traveled from the U.S.? Have you ever been outside the U.S. before?
You know, just Mexico. Went on a couple family vacations. Other than that, have not been outside the U.S.
True. I have been to Mexico as well. And I've been around the U.S. a little bit. I actually did go to Europe just for a couple of weeks. It was pretty great. Honestly, I went as a senior trip. Just FYI, the Eiffel Tower is a lot bigger than you think. Yeah, man. I heard you're going to be spending, 3 months in Europe?
Actually, it's about five or six months. My plane leaves tomorrow, and then so I'll be over there early February, and then my return flight is scheduled for July 31st right now, and that's if we make it to the final game, which is the Austria Bowl. So hopefully we'll make it to that game, and I will be back in July. So right now, right about 6 months. So
awesome. Yeah, man, it sounds really exciting. I'm sure you're going to have a great time. And obviously, you know, your agent Ben, I've been keeping close in touch with him, and he seems pretty excited and pretty positive about where you're heading. I mean, obviously, it's taking one step at a time, and I'm sure you're loving life right now, but is your ultimate goal, obviously, to play in the NFL?
Yeah, ultimately, I'd say get into a camp, you know, hopefully impress somebody and give somebody the chance to tell me I can't play, if that makes sense, but yeah, you know, we'll take it one step at a time, go overseas right now. I'll be able to get tape sent home every week to Ben, and Ben can hopefully relay that to the Canadian teams and possibly NFL teams, and hopefully get invited to something when I get back home.
Yeah, no question, man. Yeah, he was talking, you know, maybe the next step. I know it's obviously, I'm just trying to pick your brain and see where you're headed, but
right.
Obviously, one step at a time, but he was talking about possibly the CFL next year as well, maybe, you know, at the end of this year. Talk about that. Do you think, you know, obviously, one step at a time, would you feel that it's one step up, level of difficulty from Nebraska at Kearney to the, you know, Austria to then the CFL? Do you think it's pretty evenly steps as far as the level of difficulty?
Right, yeah, you know, I think it's a great great staircase, thinking about it that way. Going from a pretty good D2 team and then going over to Europe, I'll see a lot of similar competition and a little bit better competition, so that'll be a great experience for me. And then being over there and coming home in July, I'll be in football shape, and hopefully there'll be a Canadian team who's in need of a player right away, and being in football shape, I'll be ready to step in and hopefully take on a role. So we'll hope for the best there.
Yeah, I to be honest with you, when I think about overseas, I don't think about football as far as, you know, American football. How much do you know about American football over there? I mean, do you think it's any different from what you've been playing in college? Do you think it's going to be, do you know at all what you're expecting for the difficulty or just the style of play?
You know, as far as I'm aware of, it's exactly the same. All the rules are basic collegiate rules. I know that as far as imports go, they're only allowed to have 3 Americans on the team and only 2 Americans playing in the game at one point. But other than that,
oh, wow.
The actual rules of the game, I haven't been told any differently as of now. I'm sure once I get over there, I'll have to be taught the little nuances, maybe so many people on line of scrimmage or whatnot, but as far as I know, it's exactly like the NCAA rules. So.
Ah, cool. Yeah, so it should be an easy transition for you. You said you did work in NASCAR. I'm guessing, obviously, since you're leaving tomorrow, you stopped. What have you been doing recently for working out? I mean, what is your main workouts? I'm sure you're doing all over the things, but I mean, are you more focused on speed right now or strength, or are you just kind of doing all of the above?
You know, just trying to stay healthy right now. It was a pretty quick decision when I heard from the team in Austria, and I actually had to move up and drive from Charlotte to Denver, and so that was about a two and a half day drive, and so I've been trying to get everything packed, a lot of paperwork done, so you know, I haven't really gotten a chance to work out. So basically taking the week to just recover, get ready for the flight, and get there healthy.
Yeah, I actually was just in Denver, I think, in July.
Really?
It was pretty cool. I mean, me being a sports fan, I had to visit all the sports arenas, Pepsi Center and, what was it, Conseco
Field?
I don't know. The Baja Stadium.
Sports Authority Field. Yep.
The Broncos Stadium. It's not Mile High, but it's
Sports Authority at Mile High.
Okay, I guess I just changed it recently then.
It used to be Invesco. Then they recently changed it to Sports Authority. So.
Yeah, and I was there for about a week and a half, and nobody was playing anything. So. But I got to go visit and take pictures. So I'm from the Keys, man, and we're like 3 feet above sea level. So going over there, I was up in the mountains in the Rockies in the middle of the summer, and it was like you couldn't even tell it wasn't December. It was snowing, and everybody was just snowboarding and all that. So it was pretty cool.
Yeah, it is cool.
Man. Just talking about your flight tomorrow, are you more nervous or excited?
You know, honestly, we're actually supposed to experience a pretty major snowstorm, so I'm a little nervous that my flight's not going to make it. I'm supposed to fly into Toronto, so hopefully I can get off the ground in Denver. Once I get off the ground in Denver, I'll be feeling good about things, but with the snowstorm coming in, I'm a little nervous right now, but I'm thinking everything will work out, so we'll keep praying for that.
I pray for you too, man. Positive thinking really goes a long way. And that's, you know, I honestly, you know, I just, you know, I'm not trying to take too much of your time. And to be honest with you, I'm really excited to have you on the show. I want to honestly have you on the show every couple months just to see how you're doing. I don't know if that's possible with you being in Austria. I'm assuming it is. And if that's okay with you, I'd love to see how you're progressing. And I honestly, you know, just talking with you and seeing obviously the video highlight reel, I really strongly feel that, you know, you're going to get everything that you want. I mean, you seem like you're doing everything that you need to be doing to make your dreams come true. And, you know, I just is it possible to have you back on the show in a couple months just to see how everything in Austria is going on?
Absolutely. You know, I love being on your show, and we'll definitely work something out. I'll have to figure out how my phone situation over in Austria is, but we can definitely work something out where I can get on the show again, and I would like that.
Thanks, man. And last quick question. I just, at the start of the show, I just kind of had a thought in my mind. Are you going to have a job in Austria? Have you even thought about it, or are you just going to really focus on football? I suppose,
you know,
I mean,
football
is your job, but.
Right. Yeah, I actually did talk to the coaches over there, just ask them if any of the other imports have part-time jobs. And, you know, they suggested not to. I mean, I'll get paid enough money that I really don't need to. So, I probably won't have a part-time job. I'll help out with the coaching staff quite a bit, and it sounds like I'll be helping out with the lower peewee teams a little bit, coaching those guys. So other than that, any free time, I'll probably just travel Europe. So
sounds like the best life, man. I honestly am happy for you, and I wish you the best of luck.
I appreciate that very much. Thanks for having me on.
All right, thank you, Kyle, and look forward to having you on in a couple months. And honestly, good luck with your flight. Hopefully it leaves on time, and good luck in Austria, man.
Yep, thank you very much. Have a good night.
Thank you, sir. And looks, that was Kyle Kaiser, and I've been having hopefully have him on the show every couple months to see how he's doing. And it seems like we do have one more caller on the air. Hello, caller.
Hey, what's up, Zen Man?
Hey, what's going on? Who is this?
This is Hydro.
Oh, what's up, Hydro? Where are you calling from today?
Down here in Key West, man. I've seen your post up on Facebook. I thought I should call in, you know, see what's up.
Hey, yeah, man. Just try to keep it real every Thursday night, seeing what's going on in sports. Well, you know, what's on your mind as far as sports going? What do you follow in these days?
I see that you had a few things going on with the, you know, talk about, like, you know, the Super Bowl, how it's coming up and everything. Like, I just want to see what your predictions were, you know, about who you think is going to win, who you think is going to take it home.
Yeah, man, I got to answer this question about 10 times a day working at Sports Fanatic and having everybody come in the store. But I personally think the Giants are going to win. I look at it from a couple different angles. Obviously, you know, come on, Tom Brady wants redemption on 07. You know, obviously he wanted to have the perfect year, and was kind of shattered by Eli and that defense. But you know what? I want to say that he's going to come back and try to – I respect that offense so much, but you know what? It's impossible right now for me to sit here and say that the Giants are going to lose, because that's what I've been saying the last 2-3 weeks. And not only – I mean, they went into to San Francisco. They went into Green Bay, and they handled them. And that's – you don't just do that out of nowhere. You did that because you're a great team, and I think they're much more complete. And I respect the Peyton, but you know, Brady, but you know what? I honestly think that the Giants are a better team here. Eli's just a winner in the playoffs, and I just think he's going to win. It should be a close game, though, but I predict a 24-21 win by the Giants.
Good predictions. Good prediction, man. And you know what? This is like one of the best seasons Eli's even had in his young career. This is a really, like, great career for him. I mean, Tom Brady, he's fine and everything. He's doing great. He's still an excellent quarterback. But I think that, you know, Eli Manning is definitely going to have the advantage here in this game. Just and then, don't get me wrong, the Patriots are a great team. I mean, it's going to be a really good competition. But I think when it does come down to the wire, and as you know, they're starting to call Eli Manning, the comeback kid in the fourth quarter, because it's amazing fourth quarter comebacks. I think that, the Giants definitely take it again.
There's so many interesting ways to win this game. One thing that I heard, the Patriots were 13-3 in the regular season, but they didn't beat a winning team, which isn't necessarily their fault. They've had a weak schedule, but one of the teams they didn't beat was the Giants, and they played them in the regular season, and they did not win. And, you look at the two teams, the Patriots played, the Broncos and the Ravens, not two strong offenses, honestly. The Giants are strong. Like you said, Eli, I mean, they won 9 games, which isn't a lot, but you know what? Eli was about 80 yards away from 5,000 passing yards. And their receiving core is sick. Victor Cruz, Hakeem Nicks, Manningham, that whole squad is just outstanding. You've seen them play tremendous football. And that front line there is with Pierre Paul.
Yeah.
Well, Pierre Paul, Justin Tuck, Human Nora, that whole, I mean, that defense, I think that's the X factor, man. It's scary to think about those big guys.
Yeah, it's tough. Those are some big guys. Definitely, that's a big defensive wall. So they're going to have to put up.
Yeah, well,
be a
fight. Are you rooting for the Giants mainly? Well, are you rooting for the Giants, I guess? First question.
Yeah, I am. I mean, there's no. I really usually root for the underdog. I mean, if it's not my team who's making it to the, you know, the playoff games or, you know, the big title game, if it's not my team, then I usually choose the underdog to win. And I mean, either way, I mean, there's no underdog. I mean, the Patriots are an excellent team as well as the Giants. So it's, you know, it's kind of hard to even call someone an underdog, because you have two great quarterbacks along with, you know, a great offensive defense from both teams. So it's almost equal. But you know, just have to see. We'll have to see. Definitely have to see.
That's honestly a very smart thing to say, because you know what? A lot of people are viewing this as an underdog. I mean, let's face it, you got a 9-win team versus a 13-win team.
Yeah.
But you're right. Mm-hmm. There is no underdog here. I mean, you got two pretty damn good teams. I you know, it is the way it is. There's going to be a lot of talk, blah, 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 prediction here, prediction
definitely
there. It's going to be a close game no matter what. I'm not going to be surprised if the Patriots win, but I hope the Giants win. I don't like the Patriots. Mainly, I'm a Dolphins fan. I just never liked them. I don't like Bill Belichick. I don't like Tom Brady. I just never liked that team. I respect them, but I don't like them. And just to see what the Giants are doing, just watching them the whole season and how badly they played. I mean, they were 8-7 with an elimination game in the last game of the season. They had to beat the Cowboys. And they've been on elimination game 4 games in a row. They've won every one of them. One more to go, and just to see that story kind of unfold is kind of cool to see. So,
yeah, definitely. And the game actually is this Sunday, correct?
It is. It starts at 6:30. I don't know what exact time it's going to start. I'm trying to get off work to go watch it from the get-go.
Yeah.
I'm trying to have a little party in my house. We'll see how that goes. But,
definitely.
It's just – it should be a long game, though. I heard the halftime is going to be extremely long.
Oh, man, it's just a great performance, though. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I don't know who's going to be performing at all, but definitely should be fun. You're going to definitely – I assume that you – are you going to be working on Sunday?
Probably, yeah, I think I am. My schedule looks like I'll be there till later in the afternoon. The game starts at 6:30?
It says 6:30, so, yeah, around there.
I'll probably be able to catch it, hopefully. If not, I'll miss the first quarter. But if anything, the main quarter is the fourth. That's what I'm really worried about, the fourth quarter. That's what I want to see, because that's when Eli does shine. But at the same time, if you have somebody as great as Eli, as good as a quarterback as Eli, which is Tom Brady, if you have somebody that great and they're down in the fourth quarter, they're going to do their absolute best to be better than, the person who's rated better than them actually in the game. So it's gonna be a close one. I can't wait to see it.
Yeah, obviously Brady's a better quarterback, but when it comes down to crunch time at big games, they're both equal.
Yeah.
And I'll never forget 07 when they played each other, worked at Foot Locker.
Oh,
I think we closed at 6 o'clock in Dayland Mall, and I didn't get out till 8 o'clock. The guy didn't let us out, like we were trying to leave. I didn't get to watch any of the first half, but second half was exciting enough, and obviously rooting for the Giants to win that one. But, yeah, man.
Well, all right, it was great. It was great talk, man. I appreciate everything. Appreciate your advice.
Man, no problem. Call in whenever you want, and you can trivia me anytime.
All right, thanks, man. See you.
Hey, man, no problem. Thanks for calling in. All right. Thanks for Hydro calling in from Key West. And just moving on, I have been, I know I kept kind of switching around right here, but it is what it is. Sports can be unpredictable, just like my show. I don't know if that made sense, but further ado, here is my hockey update. And just like to throw the standings out there, I am following it. I don't want to sound like a bandwagon fan, but you know what? I have always been a Florida Panthers fan, not diehard. I'm not, I am a diehard Marlins fan, Dolphins fan. A Heat fan, always have been following them. I don't care if they won 5 games, 10 games. It don't matter. I've been watching them. But I do hope for the best for the Florida Panthers. I'm following them, man. They're having – it's hard to say because it's just in hockey, like I've been telling you guys, 3 divisions, 1 conference, obviously being Eastern and Western. If you're winning your division, you automatically get a top 3 spot. But if you're not in winning your division, you got to go by points. Right now, point-wise – the Florida Panthers are 8th in the NHL, but because they're winning the division, they're 3rd. Here's how the Eastern Conference is going down. New York Rangers with 69 points. They're tied with Detroit in the Western Conference for the best record in the NHL. On the East, number 2 is Boston Bruins. And number 3, Panthers are holding on. Number 4, the Philadelphia Flyers. 5, the Penguins. The 6th is Ottawa. 7, New Jersey. And 8, Toronto. Looking in is Washington with 56 points, 2 back from Toronto, and Winnipeg is 4 points back from Toronto. And we'll see what those guys do. In the Western Conference, like I said, Detroit at 69 points leading the way. Vancouver at 66 points. San Jose, 62. Those are your top 3 spots. Looking at number 4, Nashville at 66. St. Louis, 65. Also with 65. Chicago Blackhawks at number 6. The Kings at number 7 with 60 points. Minnesota Wild with 55 points. Dallas and Colorado both have 54 points. Looking in to the playoffs, so we'll see if they can do anything with their season. So that is your quick NHL update. And I got about 35 minutes left in the show. And I think I'll talk a little bit of NBA. Why not? Definitely, obviously, we'll get into the Super Bowl talk a little later. But let's talk about the NBA a little bit. It is Thursday. There's actually quite a few games on tonight. Normally like two or three games on. Six games on tonight. Three finals so far. San Antonio beating New Orleans at home, 93-81. Chicago and the Knicks going down to the wire. I think Stoudemire missed a three to tie it possibly in the final seconds. Chicago wins 105-102, and they're having an impressive season. And Memphis beating Atlanta on the road, 96-77. Big win for them. Three games still going on right now. Portland at Sacramento. Portland winning 58-54. Denver at Clippers, which I'm actually watching right now on the on TNT. And Clippers up by four right now with 5 minutes left in the second, 42-38. And Golden State playing Utah. Golden State at home up three with 4 minutes left in the second quarter. Those are your scores going on today. And normally I don't go into yesterday's scores, but there is a particular well, it's quite actually it was interesting scores going on yesterday. It's all about Boston beating Toronto, 100-64. That's a big lead. That's what is that? 36 points. It's a huge win for them. Boston, a very iffy team. I think we all knew that coming into the season. With the age of their players, Rondo's been hurt a little bit. But a huge win. I think it's good for their confidence. Orlando struggling a little bit, winning last night, but at home against Washington, only by six. They should have won by more than that. Washington, one of the worst teams. And they win, though. So I guess hopefully that turns their bad fortunes around. Philadelphia beating Chicago was also another big game. Philadelphia is putting up a fight. I've said it a lot of times on my show about all the experts picking either the Knicks or the Celtics to win that division, and Philly's not having any of it. They're running away with that division right now, and they're actually contending for the conference right now. So the Sixers doing big things. Phoenix winning last night, 120-103. Steve Nash, 30 points, 10 assists. Oklahoma City beating Dallas for the second time this year. And one of the abnormal scores of last night was Portland's huge victory against Charlotte, 112-68, 44-point win for the Portland Trail Blazers. They're having a great year, Charlotte. Having a completely opposite year for them. And before I get into the standings, I want to talk a little bit about the All-Stars. The starters were named earlier today. For the Eastern Conference, looks like Derrick Rose is the point guard. Dwayne Wade, LeBron James are the guards / forwards. Carmelo Anthony and Dwight Howard. Those are your five All-Star starters for the East. I'm sure Chris Bosh will be on the bench. And for the West, they said it last night that there could be a potential four players from L.A. starting, and that is the truth. The starters will be Kobe Bryant, Chris Paul. For the guards, Kevin Durant, small forward, and then for the power forward, Blake Griffin, and then Andrew Bynum. Who would have thought two Clippers players would ever be playing, not only playing, starting in one All-Star game. That's amazing. Terrific what they're doing this year. I believe in them. I think they're going to have a great year. And this is like every night they seem to be on ESPN. They currently are up 2 points, 3 minutes left in the second. They're playing Denver, and it's now a tie game. So I know it's kind of not really important, but I guess I'll keep you guys updated on that game if anybody's not watching or concerned about it. But let's move in really quick to my standings.
Yeah.
CEO Flying an Eagle, and that comes on, you know what it's time for. It is the Southern Most Sports Draft Stat of the Week. Stat of the Week I have for you guys today is last night, LeBron James, in a losing effort, did score 24 points in the first quarter versus the Bucks. He outscored the Bucks by himself in the first quarter, and that is actually the second time that he has done that this year. The other team was the Nets. And he only scores 2 points in the second quarter, ended up with 40. Still impressive, but I think I didn't mean to not talk about him, about last night's scores. The Bucks did beat the Heat yesterday. Brandon Jennings, can't say enough about him. He was full of life, and he really won that game for him. Heat not playing too good in the fourth, but they're still doing good. And just moving on really quick to the standings, looking at the Eastern Conference, Chicago at the number one spot, 19-6. Miami, who did beat Chicago this weekend, are at this point 1.5 games back at 16-6. So tied in the loss column, that's always good. Philadelphia right there at 16-6 as well at the number three spot. Indiana and Philadelphia are two random teams to be talked about right now in the top four. But Indiana is the fourth best team in the East, record-wise 15-6. 2 games back for Chicago. Number five, Atlanta. Number six is Orlando at 13-9. They're 4.5 games back. Boston, as of right now, are in the playoffs at 11-10. Still having a very bad year. Milwaukee actually will finish off the eighth spot with 10-11 record. Cleveland, looking in, they're 8.5 games back, a game and a half back from the eighth spot. New York Knicks are kind of the story of the East, not playing good at all. Another loss today. 2-8 in the last 10 games. Just playing bad. That's pretty much all I can really say. I don't know what – I mean, obviously they got new players, but they got them last year. I think their main problem is not having a true point guard. I think Baron Davis is their point guard right now. I don't know if he's the solution, really. I mean, obviously, I think they have quality guys, Tyson Chandler, along with Stoudemire and obviously Melo. I mean, that's three solid guys right now. I just think they don't have a guy to kind of tie it in and dribble the ball on the court and make some good passes. So we'll see if they turn it around. Even though it's a shortened season, still some time to get everything fixed. And as of right now, I guess they're 2.5 back from the eighth spot. I still see them making the playoffs, but definitely got a long ways to go to be talking about as a threat in the East. The worst teams right now in the East are the Washington Wizards at 4-18, Detroit 4-20, and the lonely Charlotte Bobcats at 3-20. They are doing horrible. They do have one win on the road. They're 1-12. 0-10 in the last 10 games. They lost 10 in a row. That's not good. Moving on to the Western Conference, Oklahoma City remaining at number one over there. They are number one in the NBA at 17-4. Right behind the Clippers, 13-6, they're 3 games back. Denver, who's playing the Clippers right now, with 14-7, they're also 3 games back. So winner of this game locks in right now the number two spot. San Antonio, amongst other surprises in the NBA, 15-9. With the age team that they have and the absence of Ginobili, surprising that they're in the top four. They're, like I said, 15-9. 3.5 games back. Dallas, number five. They're staying in the hunt, 14-9. 4 games back. Utah is number six. Portland, number seven. They're having a good year. The record isn't showing that they've had a great year, but I think they're doing well. Obviously, without Brandon Roy, they have a lot to do. And the lonely Lakers at number eight, hanging on to the number eight spot. Right behind them, Memphis. One game back. Houston, also one game back of the Lakers. And like I said, keep an eye on Minnesota, 10-12, but 6-4 in the last 10. I see them making a run, and I see them making a playoffs. So we'll see what they do. Kevin Love, Ricky Rubio, that's kind of my team I'm talking about. We'll see if my predictions come true, but I predict a playoff berth from the T-Wolves. So we'll see what happens with that. And I guess no better time than now to talk about the NFL. Obviously, it is Super Bowl time. This Sunday, I had a caller in talking about it a little bit. Super Bowl was 46. rematch of 07. This is the Giants and the Patriots. And I know, I mean, it's 4 years now. I don't see too much of a difference, I mean, between the teams. Like, obviously, a few players here and there, but I see a pretty similar team on both sides than what we saw in 07. Patriots, huge offense, so-so on defense, and the Giants, just a solid team. A team that can, you know, really lock down on defense, and I think they have an actually better offense than they did in 07. They don't have Plexel Burns, but, you know, they have some pretty strong wide receivers. And from what I've heard, I mean, Eli, obviously, I mean, not from what I've heard also, but what I've seen in the playoffs, Eli and his wide receivers, they have a lot of chemistry. And they're strong. The secondary of New England has been getting better, but they're still questionable. They've only played two games. I mean, credit them. They earned that top spot. They only had to play two games to get into the Super Bowl. They played Denver and the Ravens, which I credit them for beating the Ravens. But Ravens' offense, although better than the Broncos, I still don't compare them to the Giants. I just think the Giants are a solid team. I do. And I'm picking them, one, because I want them to win. After beating the Patriots in 07, obviously, you know, if you don't know already, it was in 07 when the Patriots were 16-0 in the regular season, 2-0 in the playoffs. All they needed to do is win the Super Bowl to be the first team ever to win, to be 19-0. Huge favorites. I think it was like 13 points or something like that. Favorites. And the Giants just hit them over the head. I mean, it was an amazing game. Anybody that just loves sports, I mean, you didn't have to be a Giants or a Patriots fan to see what happened, and it was incredible. And I think that really set the bar for who Eli was. And it's just amazing just to see. I mean, he's just crazy to see what he's done in the regular season this year. As a player, he's done great, but as a team, they've done horrible. He's been a little inconsistent. I think he's still been a very good quarterback. I mean, you don't just have nearly 5,000 yards and be a bad quarterback. Obviously, he's done a lot of good things. But 9-7, barely sneaking into the playoffs, and then just totally dominating. I mean, they dominated the Falcons, and I honestly had the Falcons in that game, first game they played. And then I picked the 49ers to beat them. They beat them. And I picked, obviously, the Packers, and they beat them decisively. It was just incredible what they did, and it's foolish for me, you know. My realistic, you know, mind kind of jumps in when I see this happen. It's stupid for me to pick against them right now, just with their play. There's always that lurking feeling of what is Tom Brady going to do. You know, obviously what he did, what he didn't do in 07, and I'm sure he's been dying to get back here. And not only is he back, but he's back against the same team that kind of dashed his hopes and dreams. And I think that he's definitely kind of come out firing, but, you know, it doesn't mean that he's going to have success. So I really look forward to this game. I do work. Hopefully I can get home and watch the whole thing. I know most of y'all are waiting for the commercials. For me, it's kind of an added-on bonus because I'm already going to have a lot of fun just watching the game from an NFL, you know, player standpoint. Obviously, I'm a huge Dolphins fan. That'll never change. But for right now, I honestly am a huge Giants fan. I never have, like, the Patriots for good reason. It's not just, oh, blah, blah, blah. No, I really, honestly, I just, Belichick, he's just a prick when he's on the podium talking about, you know, when he enters on interviews, he just thinks he's better than every living being on earth. And I can't respect that. Obviously, quite a while ago, he was, that whole team was caught taping practices. And I don't think I really hate Tom Brady, but he irks me. And I don't know, man. I really never liked anything from that team. But, all in all, it should be a great game. And I am definitely rooting for the Giants. So we'll see what happens with that one. And it's 11:40 past hour. Just quick news on the Patriots. Gronkowski's kind of been the center of attention the past week. Is he going to play? I would assume yes. His his interview was positive. Didn't practice, but, you know, you're not really going to practice at this point. This isn't really let's practice, get better. You're trying to get healthy. Obviously, he's fine talent-wise. You're not trying to practice him for any reason other than maybe to test anything out. He should be fine to play. Is he going to be 100%? I don't think so. I know you're saying, yeah, you know, they have Hernandez, but they usually play both of them at the same time, so it's still going to be a big loss for them if he's not 100%. But if he's definitely playing, I think it'll be a lot better than him not playing, obviously. So he's a huge weapon to the offense, probably his best weapon. Maybe, I don't know. I mean, Tom Brady has so many weapons. Him, Hernandez, Walker, the talent in those three guys is amazing. Not to mention Deion Branch, who I don't think is amazing, but you know he's still on the field too. So it's four guys you got to watch, and we'll see. I'm anxious, honestly, for this game, just because you have two teams that you really, I mean, one of them's got to lose, and it's going to be interesting to see how one of them does, and. I really think the Giants are going to win from a professional standpoint. And if the Packers are going to play the Patriots or the 49ers are going to play the Patriots, I still wouldn't pick the Patriots. And the Giants beat both those teams. How can you not pick the Giants in this game? That's my prediction. We'll see what happens with that. Should be fun. And the game time is set for 6:30 on Sunday. And hopefully I'll be home for that. We'll see what happens. Like I said, 07. Don't understand what that was all about. The store closed at 6:30. We had a man, you know, a dude closing. He was a closing manager. I don't know why he wasn't even wanting to get out sooner. We didn't even have any TVs. Like I said, didn't get even home until the second half. It's kind of stupid, but I shouldn't have that problem this time. But we have about 18 minutes left. I'm a little frustrated that I have my top three plays every week. I only have two plays right now. Luckily, they were actually my top two, so I don't have the top three. My third best, I mean, we're going to get into my top three plays right now. My third best play was going to be Brandon Marshall's awesome circus catch in the Pro Bowl. I rely on a website to kind of convert that sound onto my radio show, and it, for some reason, didn't want to work. So if you somehow are saw that game and you're listening in, picture play right now. It's the best I can do for you. But that was my number three play. Here's my number two play, though. This will be LeBron James last night.
Inside the arc for that shot. 35-23 Miami. Turnover, return. James Washington just intercepted that pass intended for Jackson. Too bad, too, because that would have been a bucks.
Just another reason why I've always said LeBron is just the best player right now is because he is all over the place for his size. He does everything. I know he doesn't hit clutch shots sometimes. I say that because he's not necessarily a shooter, and he shouldn't be taking shots. It's just, I don't know. But on this play right here, just a great play. It was a bad turnover, but you know what? He didn't give up. His first instinct was, all right, steal the ball. He literally was 3 feet ahead of this guy, just jumped up, grabbed the ball, and went in for a gigantic dunk in a matter of seconds. So, just a average players don't make that play. It's the great players that do. And it's just a great play to see. And it was a great play. And here is number one. I'm sure everybody knows what this play is. Blake Griffin posterizing Kendrick Perkins. I can't literally watch enough of this play. It's amazing.
It's a physical game. Unreal, oh, a monster jam by Blake Griffin. Oh, what a play by Blake. The fans can hardly believe what they just saw.
Yeah, that was my number one play, Blake Griffin. If you haven't seen that play, it's not like I say this every time, but I'm saying it now. Please, YouTube, Blake Griffin, Kendrick Perkins. You need to see this dunk. It was amazing. It was kind of like, well, I'm not saying Blake Griffin has done this numerous times, but this tops, I think, all Blake Griffin's dunks. It was kind of like Dwight Howard's dunk in the dunk contest when he put on the Superman cape and, like, jumped really, really high, and he kind of threw the ball on the rim, but I give credit to Blake. He actually touched the rim on his way down, so that is a clean dunk right over a power forward, a size of Perkins, and it makes me happy because, you know what? If anybody doesn't like Blake Griffin, first of all, I don't understand you whatsoever, but it's your own opinion. But Perkins has got an attitude on him for some reason. I don't know if you ever see him without an angry frown on his face. It's just kind of funny to see him just get totally posterized. And I definitely rank that. I still think the Dwayne Wade dunk against Varejao is probably the best dunk that I've ever seen. But no, this obviously is right up there with it. Those are my top three plays, I guess. Definitely my top two plays. Like I said, I tried to get that play on, it just wasn't working. It is what it is. Got to keep moving. Got about 13 minutes left. And just moving in really quick, just my South Florida sports update. Not really a lot going on. Obviously, all the college teams not playing. Florida State, not South Florida, but they're in the top 25 now. Haven't really been ranked a lot, but after beating Duke and North Carolina, they are officially in the top 25. The Marlins, nothing new on them. The new stadium, obviously, is about to be completed. This new season starts April 4th against the Cardinals. I do have tickets to that game. I believe it's a one game at home, and then they move on the road. So that should be fun. No real news on the Dolphins, except for the fact that they're probably ordering a pizza for the Super Bowl, sitting on the couch, unfortunately. But I liked the way that they finish off the season after the way they started. And I don't know what's going to happen. Keep an eye on Peyton Manning. I have not heard anything indicating that he's going to stay in Indianapolis. So he's definitely got a couple years left. I think he's going to find a new home. Just keep an eye on him. I don't know where he's going to go, but I like to think that maybe he would join Dolphins. Just keep an eye on it, see what happens with that. And obviously the FIU Panthers actually had big news. Coach Mario Cristobal, this happens all the time. Their coach gets bigger offers. He had an offer from Rutgers, and he looked like he was going to go. But you know what? He stayed, and it means a lot to me personally. It means we have a really humble coach. I'm not saying Rutgers is any better than us. It may not even be better than us, but I'm sure a little bit of heart kind of came in for his decision. Nick Saban didn't want to stay with the Dolphins. Obviously, he's had tremendous success in college football, but it's really nice to see Cristobal stay. One, you know, he's our coach, but two, just what he's done for this organization, for this team, they've come a long way since I've started at the school, and it's all because of him. And I would hate to see, after the success they've had, for him to leave. It would just make no sense. But it seems like we do have another caller on the line. Hello, caller.
Are you talking to me?
Hey, what's going on? Sounds like Angus is on the line.
Yes. I'm on the line.
What's going on, man?
Actually, I wasn't expecting to come in so quick. I wanted to listen to you for a couple of minutes, so I wouldn't just come in and talk without knowing who you're talking about.
It's all right. You know, we have 10 minutes left. I didn't want to wait too long. I would just talk a little South Florida sports update. But you know what? I want to hear your thoughts really quick. Who do you want to win the Super Bowl? And two, your prediction, and what do you think is going to happen in the Super Bowl?
I'm definitely rooting for the Giants to win the Super Bowl. It's not so much that I really like the Giants, but I'm a Dolphin fan. And the only thing that the New England Patriots are really famous for, their legacy really has to be considered tarnished because of the way they cheat so much.
Exactly. I got touched on it earlier.
You've got to remember this as the organization that sort of stole a Super Bowl from the Rams by videotaping their walkthrough the day before, so they knew exactly what the Rams were going to be doing, you know, as soon as the Rams did it. And that's just also the same organization that years and years ago hired a convict, and this guy came on the field against the Dolphins with the snow plow and cleared a path for the New England kicker to kick a field goal. And so,
yeah, just, yeah, I a lot of things that I don't like about him. Just on top of that, Bill Belichick has got to be the biggest dick on TV. Whenever he's asked any questions, it's like he doesn't care. He thinks he's better than everybody else. The whole team is just irksome, if that's a proper term.
They're so aloof. That's a proper term. And I just can't stand the New England Patriots. And the Giants, you know what? When they won the Super Bowl a few years ago, they were a team that, backed their way in, but they won it, and everybody liked them. They did it. They didn't gloat. They didn't, seem aloof or do anything like that. They just went on and did it, and they were genuinely happy. And I think the country people were genuinely happy for them. I think that'll be the case this week if they win.
Yeah, no question. No question. Whenever the Patriots kind of go, they have a great record, and they usually are always favored. And again, the Giants are not really a good team coming into the playoffs. So even though they won a lot of great games, I, in my mind, don't really consider them an underdog, but they kind of are. I mean, you can't forget about all the bad games they've had this year, and you don't really just wipe it away, but that's, technically, they're actually, right now, I think they're pretty evenly matched right now. But aside from your personal feelings towards the Patriots, who do you think is going to win this game?
That is a difficult question, because I don't want the Patriots to win, so in the sort of thing where you don't want to root for, ever against your team. You don't ever want to bet against the team, so you don't want to be put in a spot where you're rooting
against your team.
Well, I'm not
asking you to bet
against
your team.
I know what you're saying.
Bet against it. Okay.
I'm going in a long way, a round circle to this. To answer, I guess. But I think that the Giants just have an ability to play good in big games. When the chips are down and stuff matters, they seem to be able to come through. And this is one of those games. And I think that... as it gets close, the pressure of everybody hating the Patriots is going to affect them a little bit. I'm going to die.
I predict 24-21. And, I know it's 4 years ahead of the last time they played, but they're pretty similar match like they were last time. Patriots have always kind of been that high offense, so-so defense type of team. The Giants have kind of been a more complete team. I think, honestly, their offense is better than it was before. The wide receivers that the Giants have, the chemistry Eli has with Victor Cruz and Nix and Manningham, I like it. And I think a big part of their success is going to be against that Patriots secondary. You can analyze this left and right. I hate doing it, but I do it because you have to. But I think overall it'll be a really close game. It wouldn't surprise me if anybody lost or won, but going on, what I've seen so far in the playoffs, like I said, I can't root against the Giants anymore. I did that 3 times thinking they were going to lose, and it would be foolish of me to root against them to bet against them for 4 straight games. So I think I'm finally going to jump on the bandwagon and say that they're going to win, so... I think I agree with you. I think the Giants are going to win. Yeah, man.
I think it's going to be a higher scoring game than that, though.
You would think so, but
yeah,
I don't know. I think when you look at the last game, I mean, the offense that Tom Brady had was one of the best ever, and an 07, and they only put up, what was it, 14 points? I mean, just the way that the Giants kind of just control the clock and control the game, and I just think it's going to be kind of a low-scoring game. 24-21 isn't necessarily low-scoring, but for a Patriots game, it kind of is. 24-21.
Yeah, you know, you might be onto something there, because I think that the average score of an NFL game is like 39 points, I think. So
yeah,
that's like 19 and a half each.
Yeah.
So if you're in the 20s with each team, it's above average.
Well, we'll see how these teams play. I don't think Belichick likes to play too conservative. He's kind of taking some chances, so we'll see how their playbooks are. Obviously, passing games for both of them. So we'll see how the running game goes for the Giants. I don't see New England doing much in the running game unless they open the passing up. But a lot of X factors. I think pass secondary, and I think the New York Giants, defensive line, we'll see if they can get to Brady and cause him to have a rough time. If they can do that, no way that the Patriots win.
Right. One thing I'd like to see is for the Giants to come out and try to light up that secondary fast. Get a couple of long plays early. And then, New England won't be able to come back.
Yeah, I mean, you saw, dude, they tore apart the Packers. I mean, they tore them apart. And they were arguably the best team in the NFL. And they tore apart their secondary. The Packers did worked. And I see a similar type of offense right now for the Giants against the Patriots. So
that's good. That's what I'd
we'll
like
see what
to
happen. All right, Angus. Well, I got about 2 minutes left, and I just want to wrap it up real quick, but I thank you for jumping on the show. I didn't mean to stop
I thought
listening,
you still started at 11:30.
No, it starts at 11. I usually get into talking about football around 11:30, so that's what I wanted everybody to call in and give me their predictions and their thoughts on the Super Bowl.
Go Giants. Go Dolphins.
Yes.
Go Heat.
All right.
Well, thanks for having
appreciate
me.
You calling in. And, hey, no problem, man. Thanks for calling in.
You got it. Peace out.
Thanks. All right, guys. At about a minute and a half. Just want to really quick say thank you for all my listeners. I do appreciate it. There's no other reason why I'm on here than to, talk to you guys and give you my opinions. And just make sure you guys join me Sunday morning. I will definitely have an NFL pregame show. This is the most NFL pregame show. I did not have one last Sunday. One, I was a little busy. Two, I don't want to say it's pointless, but I did not feel like pregaming for the Pro Bowl. It's just kind of a fun game to watch, but there's no need for opinions. Or it'd be stupid for me to sit here and give you my predictions in this Pro Bowl. It's just, you don't know what's going to happen. Whatever. But definitely this Sunday. Definitely got a pregame for the Super Bowl. Join me next Thursday night for another edition of the Simple Sports Wrap. I want to thank you, Kyle Kaiser, for calling in, and we'll hope to follow him throughout his career in his path to the NFL. Thank you for all my callers, and also really quick, join us Tuesday night for Dread of Sports Talk with Captain Frank and Dread, his first mate Ken, and Evil Rob. With that, I'm going to say thanks everyone for calling in. Have a great night and good luck to everybody in the Super Bowl. Stay safe and have a responsible good time, and I'll see you guys next week. Thank you.
am officially retiring from the NFL and Green Bay Packers. And
Breeze in the air to center. Has it done?